Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this April 12th, 2024. And tonight, the fellow that's on the controls, there he is. Our producer is Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello, sir.
All righty. And then we have way out yonder the former U.S. Treasury special agent, co-founder for Cops for Christ, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. Glad to hear your voice, and God bless you and all our listeners.
Well, thank you, Big John. And here, live in the studio, I have my co-host with me tonight, Aaron, and his name is Ganeas. Aaron Ganeas. Hey, Aaron.
Hello, and God bless America.
And our special guest tonight, political activist and investigator, Nate Cain. Hey, Cain. Nate.
Hey, it's great to be on again with you.
Good to have you here. We have a lot to cover tonight, so we're going to get right into our scripture. Now, the scripture is going to be a little different today because we're going to, as we look through that, you know, as Solomon says, what has been is now again. And so we're going to be in 1 Kings because this really relates well to what's happening today, especially with Donald Trump and with the J6ers. And as we start in 1 Kings chapter 21 with the stoning of Naboth. Now, here, Ahab, it could be Slick Willie, Bill Clinton, or it could be Barack Obama or Jobama Biden. Jezebel, obviously, is Hillary. Naboth could be Vince Foster, Kathy Ferguson, Jerry Parks, or Ron Brown. Any of them that ended up being on Hillary's hit list. And the men of Belial, those that were paid professional liars and sodomites, well, they could be Jack Smith,
Alvin Bragg.
Alan Bragg.
Letitia James.
Yep. Chris Ray, Fannie Willis, James Comey, Judge Engron, or Mr. Garland, Merrick Garland. So it could be any of those. So let's just go through this very quickly. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. We're getting some feedback. If somebody's moving around, don't touch.
No, it's a crackling, Pastor Ernie. I can hear it. It's a crackling.
Okay. Just try to, everybody, we've had some we're in a windstorm out here, and so we've had the power knocked out several times already tonight. So we're just praying that it'll happen. We do have a generator backup here. And so, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me a vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is nearer to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it is, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Remember, Slick Willie said to Danny Ferguson, give me your wife, Kathy, and if you give me your wife, Kathy, I will give you a great, big, high-paying job in D.C. in my administration. And the problem was Kathy didn't go along with it. And Kathy ended up with a bullet in the back of her head. And so here, I mean, this is the days that we're living with today. And here's the worst part about that, John and Nate. Kathy was on the radio. Kathy called into the radio program to announce that they were going to have a press conference. And she said that we're going to tell it all. We've got all the goods on the Clinton mob. And I said, Kathy, now that you've done that, now that you've just said this nationwide, what you have to do, Kathy, is everything you know, say right now, everything you know. Because if you don't, Kathy, you won't be around to have your press conference. And Larry Nichols said, Kathy, you listen to Pastor. He knows what he's talking about, okay? And she said, well, we appreciate your warning, but we're prepared. I said, no, you're not. You don't understand what I'm telling you, okay? Well, guess what? The next day, that night, Kathy was found in her apartment with a bullet hole. How many women do you know they use a gun to commit suicide, and how many of them put the gun to the back of their heads? And so here you go. So Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Well, Ahab knew that it was forbidden for him to sell that land. By the way, you know, property taxes the Bible says property taxes are not lawful. Not only that, but they're not even lawful according to our Constitution, property taxes. And so here, and you find Leviticus 25, verses 23 through 28, in fact, and Ahab came into the house with heavy and displeased because of the word of which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away, and his face, and he would not eat any bread. So now, Ahab and Jezebel, we see their personalities so much like Bill and Hillary. I mean, they're so much alike. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? Now, Jezebel was a wicked woman, and she had Jezebel's tables where the prophets of Baal would gather and eat. And they had orgies and all kinds of things would take place there. And so here, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me the vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered and said, I will not give thee my vineyard. And then Hillary said, or Jezebel said, his wife, unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread. Let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Remember, anyone who crossed Hillary, like Vince Foster, anyone, Jerry Parks, was a threat to her, Ron Brown, anyone who could have caused Hillary and the Clintons a problem, ended up at room temperature. And so here, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles that were waiting in the city, dwelling with Naboth. That could be Chuckie Schumer. That could be, Nancy Pelosi. You know, anybody high up in the Democratic Communist Party today, you could compare them. And so, and she wrote it to the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. In other words, set up like they did with President Trump. Bring up a false, make false accusations. Russia, Russia, Russia. Right here we have this letter with right now this trial is taking place now with Stormy Daniels. Guess what I have right here in my hand? I have a letter written by Stormy Daniels with her signature on it. And here's what the letter says. To make a sermon, over the past weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of alleged sexual relationships I had with Donald Trump many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is, in each party to his alleged affair denied in existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, and 2017. Now again in 2018, I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened, and I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at the Stormy Daniels. The Stormy Daniels, that's, I think it's at Stormy Daniels, whatever. And then it's got her signature on it. She signed this, Stormy Daniels. So, now Trump's got this letter to go into court with. But anyhow, so he says here, and said two men, sons of Belial. Now, you know who sons of Belial were, right, John?
Oh, yeah, they were, evil, 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 Pastor.
They were sodomites. The sons of Belial were sodomites, yeah, they were. And they had two men of Belial before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. How about Adam Schiff? Would Adam Schiff fit into that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, false witnesses?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. All of those false...
Of all the false witnesses, Pastor Herney, in Washington, D.C., I think Adam Schiff is leading the pack. I think he's week after week after week, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, never ended. And then after it was proven it was wrong, he wouldn't admit that he lied.
I know, over and over and over and over, okay? And I'm thinking of that other one who also bore so many false statements against Trump.
Cheney.
Jamie, yeah.
Jamie Raskin.
Raskin, Jamie Raskin, yep, was another one who. And so here
and
we can see.
The other one there who was.
Wasn't Cheney involved?
A Chinese spy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Swalwell.
Swalwell.
Eric Swalwell.
Yeah, and also Cheney.
There's a lot of them. Jeez.
Yeah, so all of these people could have been like Jack Smith today, again, Merrick Garland. Just think about it. All of these people, they just convicted one of Trump's former people in his cabinet of lying under oath. Only it was something about real estate, the size of some a property or whatever. And how many times have you seen Merrick Garland sit there and lie under oath? How many times have you seen Chris Ray lie under oath? How many times have you seen, the guy that's in charge of the border? You know what I'm talking
about? Mayorkas.
Mayorkas, lie under oath. Over and over and over you've seen him lie under oath. We just saw Big Fanny Willis lie under oath, okay? And so here now he goes on to say, and the two men, the sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying that he did blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were with the inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written into the letters which she had sent unto them. Remember how Jezebel set up Stevens? Remember Ambassador Stevens? Remember how Jezebel
Benghazi.
Set up Gaddafi, who was And how she laughed when she was watching Gaddafi begging for mercy, being beaten to death in the street, and being sodomized with a bayonet there in the street, and she's laughing. And this is a wicked, Hillary is a wicked, wicked Democrat. I mean, a wicked Democrat.
What was Benghazi about? They were running guns to the terrorists?
Yeah, Obama administration was getting weapons toward the enemies, okay, to our enemies, okay?
ISIS
and that, yeah. And so, in fact, Obama started ISIS.
I heard the audio clip of that.
Well, we play that clip of him admitting that he started ISIS. So he goes on to say, they proclaimed it fast and said Naboth high among the people. And there came two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they said to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And then Hillary. So it came to pass that when Hillary, or Jezebel, heard that Naboth was stoned. Now Hillary would have loved to have Naboth being Donald Trump, okay? But was dead. Then Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth and the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee, for the money of Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass that when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Well, I mean, here again, as Solomon says, what has been will be. We see the personalities, we see the very same thing today. And of course, things didn't end very well for Ahab and Jezebel, did they?
Nope.
So when you find yourself being eaten by dogs and all that's left is the palm of your hands, you're not having a good day, are you?
No, Pastor Ernie. It's about as bad as it gets.
Yep. Alrighty. With that, we're going to take an early break. Whenever it's set, if you're ready, take us to the break, and we'll be back right after this.
Crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way up. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. Work it up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't
cause is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say.
This, though, an evening with Dane Ortland. What's that all about? Agape Christian Academy is having a spring banquet. Now, folks, Agape Christian Academy is a really dynamite Christian school. It is, and listen, the founders of that, Chris and Russ Gifford, no, Sue and Russ Gifford, are good friends of mine for many years, and they run a real tight ship over there. And they're having their spring banquet, and that's April 26th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Parkside Church at 7100 Pettibone Road in Bainbridge. Tickets are $45, and that includes a banquet dinner. Now, again, as a fundraiser for this school is growing and growing, and they have a very, very reasonable tuition for the kids so that people can afford it. And so, anyhow, for more information on this, you can call 440-834-8022. 440-834-8022. Again, it's having the spring banquet fundraiser. They're having a dynamite speaker out there. And he is the one, the heart. He's the author of the Gentle and the Lowly and the Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And so, mark your calendars. Support them. We need to support Christian schools. Look what they've done to our kids. Now, I want to tell you folks out there, one of the good reasons to get our newsletter is this. You know, we have articles that, you know, things you hear us on the program. One of them really shows you the outrageous things that have happened here at that election, the last election in Ohio. We warned you. It's an amazing thing just how corrupt. Can you imagine?
Very concerning.
Over 4,000 people that voted that were older than the oldest living people in the United States today, all in Ohio. Can you imagine people where you have a total of just over 3 million registered voters in Ohio, yet you had over 4 million people vote, okay? You had about 250,000 people voted that didn't have their apartment address. They had an address for the apartment complex, but not the apartment they lived in, okay?
Wasn't there like thousands of people supposedly from the same apartment as well?
Yeah, I think there were.
Or a mobile home?
Yeah, about 900 or something like that, yeah. So that's just in Ohio alone. And so anyhow.
So what can we do to fix that?
Well, this is why we're talking about it here. That's in the newsletter.
Got to clean the voter rolls.
That's exactly right. And this is why we have tonight Nate Kane with us, because Nate is going to be telling us about what happened when him and Harry Howery, his partner, broke a major story about the Chinese communist infiltration into the several counties, the election system, and the breach of voter and election worker data, and discovered on servers in China. Now, with that, Nate, take her away.
So, I've been in cybersecurity for about 27 years, and I started my own company a few years back after working on election integrity down in Washington, D.C. after the 2020 election. And actually, that's where I met Harry. We both were on the same team that was providing data to Peter Navarro, actually, and also we were doing a lot of work with the Amistad Project, and both of us have been expert witnesses in multiple cases. But we ended up getting involved. You'll remember Through the Vote had originally broke the story about Conic, a company out of East Lansing, Michigan. And they had a confidential informant who had allegedly found some data from our elections on servers in China. And they had held an event out in Arizona where I guess the an investigative officer from Los Angeles Bureau of Investigation, as a Los Angeles District Attorney's Office Bureau of Investigation, was at that event and heard what was going on. And so he decided to talk with True the Vote about this and found out that they had data on L.A. County. So there was a grand jury, and Harry was, he knew, he had done some work, I guess, you know, years ago with Greg Phillips, and so he was asked to validate their data, and he did. And he ended up being a witness in that case in the grand jury, and then eventually the grand jury offered a or ordered a search warrant and arrest warrant. So at that point in time, that's when I got involved in this, and I was I had a relationship with Harry, and so Harry asked me, you know, hey, will you come out and assist me with this search warrant? And they needed somebody that had expertise in cyber forensic capture, which I did. And so Harry and I both went out there, and we did our assessment, and we did our cyber capture, and then basically gave them, you know, our expert opinion on which systems needed to be taken so that they could be reviewed further. After which, during our time there in East Lansing, we were involved in a this search warrant that was it was a joint effort between Los Angeles District Attorney's Bureau of Investigation, Meridian Police, East Lansing PD, and I think it was Ogamos Sheriff's Department. But we were there for a couple of days, and then went home, and I got a phone call from the investigating officer, Andrew Stevens, who asked if we had the capability of being able to go on to remote servers and capture data, and you know, in a way that it was, you know, it could be used in the court of law. So I had a team of guys that were working with my company at the time, all cybersecurity professionals. These guys were Army National Guard men that were part of the cyber protection team. So I asked them, I said, hey, you know, can you guys work with me on this project? They checked in with their commander. They were able to work with me in Moonlight for my company, so I contracted with them. And we had 12 guys working on this project. We did a total of 600 hours. The investigating officer had had been given credentials by a confidential informant. And so the search warrant was expanded. We ended up collecting, we spent over 600 hours collecting data, going on to these servers, pulling down data. And all of these servers, by the way, were being maintained in Beijing, China. We verified that data. There's certain protocols and tools that you can use that you can find out where the source is. We did that. We confirmed these were in China. And when we started pulling the data, then we had the monumental task of going over and going through this data and finding out what we could find out from it. Some of it was in Chinese. We had to translate into English. Some of it was what they call software development tickets, or JIRA tickets. So we had to go through and analyze those and see what was going on. And what we discovered was that this company, Conic, the evidence was showing that they were contracting with a company out of Wuhan to have their software developed and maintained. And further analysis, we discovered that that company was listed as a company that had a high social credit score with the Chinese Communist Party for a North involvement in what's called the Thousand Grains of Sand intelligence effort that they were doing, where they were having companies spying on American companies to gather PII and intel. And so at this point, I had no choice but to file a report with Defense Counterintelligence Security Agency. My company is a cleared contractor, and I've held the top secret clearance for 27 years. And I can't ignore something like that, because anytime you have a foreign adversary intelligence touch to a U.S. system, it has to be reported. So I did that. I reported it. DCSA took a look at this data, and they believed that this data did, in fact, rise to the level of a national security threat. They turned it over to the FBI for a further investigation. Meanwhile, L.A. County decided, after we gave them the data, they decided to, and when I say they, really I mean their DA, who's financed by George Soros, and that would be George Gascon.
Yeah, he's got quite a reputation.
He decided to dismiss the case against Eugene Yu. They released him. He then went and left the country and went to Malaysia. And at least this is what I was told. And then he sued L.A. County, and he won $5 million for wrongful arrest. Meanwhile, I saw the evidence. I still have some of that evidence. And we provided all that evidence to both DCSA and to Los Angeles District Attorney's Bureau of Investigation. They cut loose the assistant DA who was working on the case. They removed the investigating officer off the case. And eventually they cut us loose. Because we were originally hired, and we were supposed to be contracted to do the rest of that work. But we had done over $100,000 worth of work, and then we were never paid for. So, in the end, we were left basically, without payment for all the work that we had done, and with all this, evidence basically not even being considered or even looked at by the court. And so we sat on it for almost 2 years. It's been about a year and a half, a little bit over a year and a half. And the reason for that was because of legal reasons. And but I can't stay silent about this anymore. Here we are coming into another election. And we completed our investigation. And our cyber forensic capture was completed I want to say it was right before the November election of 22. So we had started our work in October, and I think in November we completed most of it. We continued some of it, beyond that. And then they pushed out the arraignment because he had been arrested. They let him go on his own recognizance. And then eventually they ended up dropping the case. So the whole thing, from start to finish, once we completed our work and once the police officers that were involved completed their work, and they did fine work. But as soon as it got to the DA's office, he basically shut it down. And so you have a national security threat, basically, that's still in existence because this company is still maintaining contracts with multiple counties. And we found one county in particular that had pretty egregious breaches of PII, that's personally identifiable information of their poll workers, of their judges, the election judges, as well as a full inventory of all of their election systems with the serial numbers of their thumb drives, of their provisional ballots, of the tote bags that are used to bring the ballots into the containment area. All of that was on Chinese servers. And that was for Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. So I met with the superintendent of the Allegheny County Police superintendent and lead investigator. I provided them a copy of all the information, and they went and took it to the FBI, and I heard from a source that the FBI basically told them we're not interested. So that's where we're at today.
Well, you know, it's obvious. You have Joe Biden is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, they own him, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, Klaus Schwab set that up when he brought Biden in. I remember him in Davos where he brought Biden in with the Biden's job. One was to destroy our economy. His mission was to, and he's doing a good job of it. He was instructed to keep the border open, to keep the flood of illegals to come in, to reduce America to third world status, but break our economy and then keep a steady flow of young children for pedophiles, okay, for these child sex slave trade. I mean, that was Joe Biden's mission. That's what he was.
It's government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded, yep, human trafficking.
Yep, that's exactly. The United States government is the biggest, is the world's largest source of human trafficking in existence today. That's reality, okay?
We got to do something about that quick.
We're doing, yeah. And so.
Yeah, we do.
You know, one of the things is trying to continue to notify. And those that aid and abet on that is the mainstream media. The mainstream media they'll cover up whatever they're told to cover up. They will cover up to the best of their ability. And they will betray America to the last. And so.
Well, what's particularly concerning about this case and this company is they also maintain contracts with the U.S. military to run our elections on military bases overseas.
And the servers are in Beijing.
Say that again?
The servers are in Beijing.
So the servers that they're using, I want to make something clear. So this has nothing to do with necessarily altering election outcomes, not that we can tell. It certainly provides enough data that if you wanted to commit fraud, you could. However, what we did find was we found that they had access to, there was an email that we had where there was communications going on between this company, CTO, and also with their counterparts in China that were developing their software. So where they had found a bug in their software, mind you, this software was developed by these Chinese developer. There was a bug in the software that they had found where they had access to a user account that they could automatically turn that user account into a super user account. And this account had backdoor access into the voter registration system, because that's how they validate whether somebody, when somebody goes to work for a poll, you know, as a poll worker, they would have to validate that that person was eligible to work for the poll, you know, as a poll worker, and they would have to live and, you know, in that particular district. So they were using an API, which is basically a backdoor, you know, access point for the interface to validate that person's information against the voter registration database. And the problem with that is that in places like Pennsylvania, their voter registration database is managed at the state level, statewide. So, which is actually a very high security risk. That's actually listed by CISA's own, in their own software tool for assessing risk on your election systems. The number one issue they ask you is your voter registration managed centrally for the entire state? And if it is, then you're automatically put into a much higher risk category, because the one system, without any doubt, that is connected to the internet, the one piece of the election system connected to the internet in every case, is the voter registration system, the poll books, that sort of thing. So without a doubt, they had access to that. There was also some other interesting findings that we found that indicated some other things that could be nefarious. We don't know, but the problem is that all of this should have been absolutely investigated by the FBI. I would say that Pennsylvania, as well as multiple other states, anybody using their software should absolutely have looked and checked and done an investigation into their voter registration systems to see if there had been any kind of abnormal connections to their voter registration system through the API by poll chiefs. And they should have validated to see if there was any kind of strange connections or any kind of exfiltration of data. That would have been something that I would have called for had I been consulted on this. But what really bothered me in this case was that I actually had asked the investigating officer, and I had requested both of him and the assistant DA. I said to them, look, can you guys please notify these counties? They need to understand the seriousness of this. I mean, in any case, the people whose data had been breached, right, social security numbers, names, addresses, birth dates, phone numbers, all that, they should have been notified, but none of them were. To my knowledge, no one was notified that their data was breached.
Well, now, Tucker Carlson just did a piece saying that he had evidence that both the FBI and the CIA right now were gearing up to try to flip this next election, okay, in November, that they were going to try to stop Trump, you know, at all means. They had to stop. Have you heard any chatter on that?
I have not, but as you know, I have a sordid history with the FBI. Of course, I was the FBI whistleblower that blew the whistle on the FBI's cover-up of Hillary Clinton's crimes related to Uranium One, money laundering, public corruption, terrorism financing. And so I would not put anything past, you know, those deep state operatives that are in the FBI and the Department of Justice. And there are certainly deep state operatives still there, you know, that were planted there by Obama and are continuing to operate. You know, most of these guys are senior executive service types or, you know, GS-15 level guys. They're very high level. And they have a bunch of yes men working under them that will, you know, keep their head down because, you know, honestly, they're maybe 5 years away from their pension and they want to get out of there. But unfortunately, I would not be surprised. Look what they're doing to Trump right now. This lawfare is unprecedented. They've pretty much, run everybody surrounding anybody who had any dealings with Trump at all. They have run through the mud and through the legal system trying to bankrupt them. Those they could put in jail on trumped up charges of, you know, lying to the FBI. Remember they did that to, General Flynn. They did that to Peter Navarro, who's in jail right now. I mean, they're doing this to everybody they can. And, we're really in a dangerous place right now. I mean, I consider at this point, I look at the FBI, And there are elements within the FBI that to me seem like they are operating right now as a paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what they are. And, you know, when you see people like Chris Wray and Merrick Garland under oath say that there is no preferential treatment when it comes to whether Republicans or Democrat, where it comes to who they prosecute, when they talk about the way they treat, for example, the J6ers, and parents who speak out on the school boards or pro-lifers, the way that now, and these guys sit there under oath and they lie, and it's just an amazing thing. It's like, in your face, we really believe you people are stupid. But what are you going to do? You don't have a... Who's going to prosecute? You don't have a Justice Department. The Congress can bring charges, but they've got no ability to really prosecute.
Congress enables them. Congress has one power that they just don't seem to want to use, which is the power of the purse. They could completely defund the FBI. They could defund all of these activities that they're doing that are unconstitutional. We just saw you know, the Speaker of the House be the deciding vote to allow for Section 702 to go forward without warrant.
Yeah.
This is insane what we're seeing right now. It is a complete violation of the Fourth Amendment, and they are doing this, and due process for that matter, so the Fifth Amendment as well. We've seen them abuse and utilize Section 702 of FISA to spy on American citizens. There was a judge in June of last year that came out and said that over, I think it was 279,000 Americans had been illegally spied on using Section 702, which is warrantless searches, which, by the way, I know a lot about because I was read on to that program when I worked for NSA. I was with Mark for Cyber and detached to NSA on a specialized team called the Cyber Protection Team, and we were going after hackers hacking our national critical infrastructure. When I was read onto that program, it was made very clear to me that if I ever used it against an American citizen, if I ever used it, you know, if I, you know, and they had gave some examples of, you know, somebody had wanted to spy on their girlfriend to see if their girlfriend was cheating on them. They said that if you used those tools illegally, you were going to jail for 10 years. And yet, out of those 279,000 Americans that were illegally spied on by the FBI, I don't remember ever hearing about a single FBI agent going to jail.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, well, I don't trust the FBI with tools like that. They're a domestic agency. They should never have access to them. And so long as they are allowed to have it, I guarantee you, they are using it against members of Congress. They are using it against judges. And they are spying on them through their cellular phones, through their digital devices, in order to have dirt on them. How else could the FBI have convinced Congress when we are, you know, seeing record spending out of control? We're seeing things going on where, you know, the FBI has done all kinds of things wrong, and yet Congress still voted to give them hundreds of millions of dollars to build a new headquarters bigger than the Pentagon.
Do you think it's because about half of the Republicans are really Democrats?
Or just rhinos? I think because there are many Republicans in Congress they've been compromised by blackmail. I think that those that they could not buy off with you know, promises of, you know, book deals or promises of millions of dollars in jobs when they get out, you know, working sitting on the board of directors for some big corporation. I think they do a lot of that kind of stuff, but those that they're unable to buy, they then turn those tools on to them to try to find something that they can dig up on them and blackmail them with. And if they can't get them, they go after their kids or they go after their spouses or their loved ones. That's why we have a major problem with this tool even being in existence, because it is a threat to national security. It is a threat to the Republic. And when they're able to do things like that, and when they completely ignore Chinese infiltration of our election systems, you have to wonder, are they complicit? Is it not just a matter of, their ignorance or they don't care, but is it a matter of they're in league with them? I have to wonder that. I don't wonder a bit.
I mean, I don't wonder a bit. I've listened to Chinese generals talking about this and saying, you know, telling them how they've got it wrapped up. They own the highest offices in the land. And here, look, when you have Chris Ray sit there and say, look, there's nothing we can do. We're outnumbered 50-1. And right now, as every day, they bring in more and more. We have at least 50,000 Chinese national troops on our land today. We have over 5 million Chinese nationals altogether, and north of the border,
they're buying up farmland near military bases.
They shipping are, lanes, seaports,
people
minerals
illegally across the border. We are being set up. The American people are being set up. And, you know, I am the only thing that gives me any hope is that I was perfectly happy living my life in solitude in West Virginia, enjoying my quiet life living out in the woods, and was perfectly prepared, you know, to run to the hills, if you will, when it all hits the fan. And in 2022, in November, I was praying, and I said to the Lord, I said, God, please raise up righteous men and women to run for office in the next election. Because I saw another election stolen in 2022, same kinds of tactics that had been done in 2020. And I was just frustrated. And I prayed, and I heard the Lord speak to me and say, what about you? And so that's why I'm running for Congress. I would not be running for Congress had it not been, I felt the Lord calling me to do this, because I feel like it's still futile to a certain degree because of just how bad things are. But that does give me hope. And I've met a lot of other people, and I've talked to a lot of other people who are running for the very same reasons. They felt called by the Lord to do so. And that gives me hope, because I know that God is up to something.
That's the only thing, honestly,
that I think can save our country is God at this point.
Tell the folks out there how they can help your campaign, contribute to your campaign, because we need people like you in office. Boy, do we need you in Congress.
Well, I'll tell you that the biggest thing right now, in my opinion, that compromises people who are running for office, they get compromised during their campaign. It happens long before they even get into office. And that happens because their willingness to, that temptation to take money from the PACs and the super PACs and these corporate PACs, it is a real thing. That temptation is there. I can honestly tell you, I have not taken a single dime from a single PAC or a super PAC. I won't do it, and I'm not taking money, especially from these corporate PACs. That is where these members of Congress get corrupted. It's how they get owned. And I'll give you a perfect example. Myself, I've not taken any of that kind of money, but I have an opponent who has. He used to work for for multiple lobbyists. He used to be a vice president of the Podesta Group, and he's now running for Congress. And you look at his SEC filings, and probably about half of his money has come from corporate PACs, and many of those are energy companies. Well, one of the things that I'm finding out is as I'm dealing with people in the northern panhandle of West Virginia, many of them are mineral owners. And they've had, they've been underpaid, well under market value what their minerals are worth. They've been getting, ripped off on their royalty payments. Now, do you think somebody who's owned by the energy companies, who already has been paid off by them, is going to care about their issues? Of course not.
No, they're not.
So
Nate, hang on a minute.
We send people to Congress.
Nate, hold on right there, because Nate, we're up against the break. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more.